this morning is from the book of Colossians. I find it interesting that theologians and scholars are pretty evenly divided on whether or not Paul actually wrote this. There is good evidence to suggest that he did. Others, though, argue that because he was in prison, it may have been written by a follower of his. But it's generally agreed that the time frame would have allowed Paul to write it. But what's interesting in this, and I bring this up to say that it doesn't really matter which human person wrote this scripture. And I think as we read it, we'll see that truly the author of this letter and this passage is God. This is from the third chapter. Words like Jewish and non-Jewish, religious and irreligious, insider and outsider, uncivilized and uncouth, slave and free, these mean nothing. From now on, everyone is defined by Christ. Everyone is included in Christ. So, chosen by God for this new life of love, dress in the wardrobe God picked out for you. Compassion, kindness, humility, quiet strength, discipline. Be even-tempered. Be content with being second place. Quick to forgive an offense. Forgive as quickly and completely as Christ forgave you. And regardless of what else you put on, wear love. It's your basic, all-purpose garment. Never, ever be without it. Let the peace of Christ keep you in tune with each other, in step with each other. None of this going off and doing your own thing. And cultivate thankfulness. Let the word of Christ, the message, have the run of the house. Give it plenty of room in your lives. Instruct and direct one another using good common sense. And sing. Sing your hearts out to God. Let every detail in your lives, your words, your actions, whatever it may be done in the name of Christ. Thanking God, our Creator, every step of the way. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. God, in these few moments, illuminate your word for us. And as we leave today, may it be your word, not mine, that is taken into the streets to change us so that we can change lives for good. Amen. I remember when I was very young, and it's continued most of my life, that no matter how wonderful Christmas morning was, no matter how exciting it was, no matter if I got everything on my list or not, by the time dinner was done, the sun had set, there was this kind of melancholy feeling that I would get. Any of you ever experienced that at all? Sometimes that melancholy would move all the way into a real sadness. What's odd is that that happened even when I was a little bitty boy. And sometimes it happens even now. I was thinking yesterday about some Christmases that I spent alone, thousands of miles from family. And those were no harder in that respect than those that I spent right with those that I love the most. So it had little to do with what was going on around me, and much more to do with what was happening inside. How can we gather on Christmas Eve and sing Silent Night and be full of tears, be full of joy that just can't be contained? That happened to me just this week. The whole service moved me. I could feel the Spirit in this room. Everyone who participated lifted up Christ in a different way. And by the time we came to a close in the service, I couldn't sing. The tears were running down my face. So full. And by the next day, Christmas Day, despite a wonderful time with Wayne, despite a great meal with my parents, that melancholy, that emptiness started to sneak back in. I've wondered about this over the years, and I've worried about this over the years. What's wrong with me? The most joyous day of the year. Why do I have this hole in my heart? And I've come to think that perhaps it's not some kind of a curse, but in fact it could be some kind of a gift. When we were leaving my mom and dad's house, my mom was doing her gut level best to unload the leftovers on us. Please take home some pumpkin pie for dessert. Nope, we've already had dessert. Take home some pecan pie. No, thank you. Take home your cranberry relish. No, we're really, I don't even want to think about food. I'm stuffed. Thank you. We got home and I was so full. All I wanted to do was just take a nap, which is exactly what I did. And a few hours later, as Wayne and I were talking, he said, "I'm sure glad we brought those turkey legs home." So, I couldn't eat a thing. I'm full. So as he's eating turkey and as the dogs and the cat are begging for their pieces of turkey, in short order, I found myself peeking in the refrigerator, found some salami, some cheese and crackers, and just a little snack, just a little hunger thing happening. How can I eat 4,000 calories at 2 in the afternoon and by 8 o'clock be hungry? That doesn't make any sense. But that's what happened. Why is it that I couldn't stay full? I think this scripture is an odd one for the Sunday after Christmas. Here we have the writer telling us all the things that we should do to live well, to live in Christ, to live in harmony. And while it's written to the church, today it applies to each one of us. But how do you go from this baby in a manger to someone talking about the teachings of Jesus, the man? That fullness that we felt a few days ago to what clearly must be an emptiness or at least a need for us to know what Jesus had for us to do. Each one of us is changed by Christmas. We may not understand that fully. Some years we may not feel it, but the fact is we are changed by Christmas and we are ever changing by what happened after Christmas. We are ever changing because of who that baby would become. I was reading an article about caterpillars recently, and the writer said that a caterpillar must be the most frustrated creature on earth, because somewhere in its heart it knows it's meant to fly, not a quick and easy process. It becomes first an egg. And that egg grows into what becomes a caterpillar. And that caterpillar has no choice but to eat and eat and eat and eat. It doesn't stop eating. It will eat everything in its path. And then it becomes a chrysalis, which is nothing to look at. It's really quite ugly. And it seems to just sit there for days after days after days before finally it emerges as a butterfly. I'm sharing this because I think it's very important to us in our Christian journey. The egg, the baby that was born in the manger, seemingly just an ordinary child. No one that came to look at that baby could really understand what the baby would become. But the baby understood. Written in the heart of that baby was that one day he would soar like the butterfly. And as we grow in Christ, as we leave the manger, as we pass even the cross and the resurrection, what we are left to hold is what Jesus taught us to do, how Jesus taught us to live, how Jesus instructed, more than that, modeled how we are to interact with one another. This scripture tells us a lot about how we are to live. And we'll all be happy that I ended it where I did this morning, because the very next line is where we are told that wives must honor their husbands, and it goes on from there. But this piece of this book says it all. Always have the peace of Christ in your hearts. Always be clothed in love. Even when you correct one another, do it in a loving way. Don't judge. Be clothed in the love of Christ. The Message, I love what he says. It is your all-purpose garment. You don't need anything else. Love is the little black dress, and it's the formal. It's the tuxedo. It's the board shorts. Love is what we wear in our hearts. And it's the whole notion of heart that I want to come back to. When I was talking to the children, I was talking about empty box and why that's important. Along the way, going back to the melancholy, I thought that it had to do with the emptiness that I saw all around me. But I've come to respect that empty box, because it means that whatever was there is not there anymore. There's room for something else. Maybe that melancholy that we experience, that sadness after all of the packages are open, is more than that. Maybe that's a hint at the longing that we have for Christ in our hearts. See, when we are full and we can take in no more pumpkin pie, no more turkey, when we are full of money, we don't recognize that we have a need for anything else. When we are full of pride, we cannot accept the idea of another person. when we are full of anger, we cannot bring in any love. It requires an emptiness in our hearts to be filled up again and again and again with that joy from the manger. You know, David, before he became the king, he was not the biggest of his brothers. He was not the best looking of his brothers. But God said this in 1 Samuel, the 16th chapter, the 7th verse. For God doesn't see as people see. People look at the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. What can we give to God? We can give our heart. It's in the brokenness of our hearts. It's in the emptiness that comes along when we least expect it. It's when we feel like there's just no way to mend a broken heart that we truly give ourselves to God and allow God to make us whole. That's the Christmas message. Message of hope. Amen. You join me, please, for a moment of silence.